You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Datt, and today we're talking a little Phillies baseball. We're bringing our Phillies reporter for MLB.com, Todd Zielecki. And Todd, the Phillies introduced the newest member of their team, first baseman Carlos Santana, this week after signing the former Indians player to a three-year, $60 million deal. The big question I think on everyone's mind is, why did the Phillies make this move now?
They made it for a few reasons. One, it was kind of the right price at the right time. And, you know, $60 million is obviously a lot of money. But from what Phillies GM Matt Klintak said at the news conference this week, you know, they liked the length of the deal. You know, the Phillies have a ton of money to spend. You know, they only had Odubel Herrera signed beyond next season. So they had the money. And, you know, if it had been a four-year deal, a five-year deal, a six-year deal, like Eric Hosmer could possibly get, the Phillies just weren't interested in that. So they like the idea that Carlos Santana has been a very productive player over the past seven seasons. He's going to be, you know, he could potentially become a free agent after his age 34 season. So they feel like they'll still get some prime years out of him. In other words, you know, the idea of signing him to a six-year deal where he'll be 36, you know, the Phillies just saw, you know, the struggles of Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley and Ryan Howard as they got into their mid to late 30s. And I don't think they were really willing to repeat that. So it gives them some flexibility going forward. They love the fact that he's a switch hitter. They love the fact that he controls the strike zone. He walks just about as much as he strikes out. They love the fact that he can play some gold glove caliber first base. And, now they can kind of team him up with Rhys Hoskins in the middle of the lineup, or at the top of the lineup anyway. And suddenly that Phillies offense looks actually pretty decent going into next season.
Yeah, the fact that he has hit 20-plus home runs in five of the past seven seasons, they obviously like that consistency. They know he's a good teammate. He's a positive presence in the clubhouse. The fact that he's a veteran for these younger guys makes a lot of sense. So you mentioned Rhys Hoskins, him and Rhys Hoskins in this lineup. What is this lineup going to look like? Where do these guys fit? And how much do you actually think they can get out of Santana next year?
Well, you know, I was looking at Santana's numbers just earlier. He has 600 plus plate appearances each of the last seven seasons. So I think he's going to play pretty much every single day, either at first base, maybe occasionally in left field. That's a possibility. But in terms of the lineup, I wouldn't be surprised on opening day if you have Cesar Hernandez leading off. He's got a 372 on base percentage over the past two seasons. You know, Gabe Kapler said at the press conference that he likes the idea of Carlos Santana hitting second. He sees the number two hole as a spot for the best hitter on the team. You know, I guess traditional thinking has that, you know, being the number three hitter, maybe even the number four hitter, but he likes his best hitter on the team to hit second. So I could see Carlos Santana hitting second. I could see Odubel Herrera hitting third, and then Rhys Hoskins hitting fourth. You know, but of course you could have Rhys Hoskins hit third as well, which would give you a really dynamic 1-2 punch in the top third of that lineup. And then after that, you have, you know, Aaron Altherr, Nick Williams to kind of play somewhere in the outfield. You have Michael Franco, who the Phillies are kind of still hoping is going to turn things around. You know, you have Jorge Alfaro, Andrew Knapp, Cameron Rupp behind the plate. Not really sure how that's going to work out. And then J.P. Crawford who's been a high on-base percentage guy throughout his minor league career. So, you know, the Phillies, really since 2012, they're like 29th in baseball and on-base percentage. They haven't scored because they can't get anybody on base. And now you look at this lineup with Hoskins, Santana, Crawford, Hernandez, Andrew Knapp, and you see a team that should really be able to work some long at-bats and get on base and score some more runs.
All right, let's talk about in the field. You mentioned Carlos Santana going to be playing first base there. That moves Rhys Hoskins out to left. Do you like that move? Do you think he fits well as a corner outfielder? Or is there maybe some concern here as he switches positions?
Well, it's funny, you know, some members of the Phillies coaching staff last season, you know, it was entirely new coaching staff this season. A lot of those guys actually thought that Rhys actually could be might be better defensively in left field than at first base. So I think they saw he didn't play a ton of time out there last season in left field, but it was really the first time he'd ever really played left field since like his freshman year of college. So they saw enough good things that they feel comfortable with it. Now they're not being delusional. They don't think he's going to be a gold glover or, you know, anything like that, but they think he's a guy that will hold his own, catch the balls that he can get to. You know, hey, the Phillies for years, they had Pat Burrell in left field. They had Raul Ibanez in left field. Neither of them were gold glove caliber left fielders. Neither of them, you know, were particularly fast runners. So I think they're comfortable with it. And again, that kind of goes back to the 3-year deal with Santana. Worst case scenario, you know, they're not locked into it for like, oh my gosh, we have Eric Hosmer through 2023. Reese has to play left field. If it doesn't work out for some reason, maybe they can figure something else down the road. But I think in the short term, anyway, at least the last that first couple of years, they're confident that he's going to be okay out there.
So with his move to left, it creates a little bit of an interesting situation with their outfield. They have Odubel Herrera, Nick Williams, Aaron Altair. Are they moving any of these guys? Are they comfortable keeping, you know, everyone? What's the situation there?
They certainly could move one of those outfielders. You know, they're still looking for a starting pitcher, and I think they really do need a starting pitcher now after you get Santana. You know, if you're really going to try to take that step forward, I think they really need to upgrade the rotation. So it's possible that Herrera, Altair, Nick Williams could be included in a trade for a controllable starting pitcher. If not, you know, Gabe Kapler thinks that he can get enough plate appearances for everybody else to keep everybody happy. If Reese is productive and healthy, I figure he's going to play pretty much every day. So that's 600 plate appearances. Gabe thinks he can get 400, 500 plate appearances for the other three. I've kind of looked at the math. Technically, it is possible, but it's highly unlikely. You know, there wasn't a team last season with four outfielders with 400 or more plate appearances. There hasn't been a team like that since 2014. Because, you know, hey, there's injuries, guys are going to struggle. You have a fifth outfielder, you're going to move some guys around every once in a while. But I think that knowing that, you know, guys are getting hurt, et cetera, guys are going to need days off because they're struggling. They should be able to get Altair and Williams and Herrera, I would say, you know, at least each 350 plate appearances. Some guys are going to get more, some guys are going to get less, but, you know, they should get enough playing time, I think, to keep them somewhat happy. Now, that remains to be seen, but that's kind of the plan as of this moment.
Two other additions to this team come from the bullpen. Pat Neshek and Tommy Hunter are both given 2-year deals. What do you think these relievers are going to bring to this Phillies team?
It just gives them a lot of depth. It gives Gabe Kapler many more options. They've talked about possibly going with an 8-man bullpen if they can't get another starter. And if they do have an 8-man bullpen, now you have two productive veterans in Neshek and Hunter to go with Hector Neris, Luis Garcia, Adam Morgan, Adubray Ramos, Victor Arano. You know, the Phillies bullpen pitched really well down the stretch, and so I think what they were trying to do is, in the event they can't get starting pitching help, they're going to have such a strong bullpen that, you know, if Vince Velasquez or Jake Thompson or Zach Eflin is getting knocked around in the fourth inning, they're not like, oh, now we got to go to our mop-up guy and hope he can keep the game close. It's like, no, now it's the fourth inning, it's fifth inning. We can actually use Tommy Hunter here or Pat Neshek here or Luis Garcia here, and it's just like one stud after another to keep them in the game as long as possible. You saw this happen a lot in the postseason. You know, starting pitchers, even if they were pitching well, only going five innings and going into a rock solid bullpen. And that's what I think the Phillies were trying to recreate with the additions of Neshek and Hunter.
The last time we talked, we had talked about the fact the Phillies had received trade offers for Freddy Galvis, and they had received offers from the Padres. He ends up going to the Padres. 28 years old, he played great defense. Do they get enough in return, do you feel like? And what does that return entail?
Yeah, Eniel De Los Santos, he's a right-handed pitcher. You know, he's ranked as the ninth best prospect in the Phillies' system, according to MLB Pipeline. You know, all things considered, I think they did okay. You know, I had some fans on Twitter saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe all they got was a double-A minor league pitcher for Freddy Galvis. And I guess I get that to an extent, but I also pointed out to those people that Freddie was going to be a free agent after next season. He had like a career high 694 OPS last season, which is not offensively meaning, you know, he's not a very productive offensive player. You know, defensively, I love to watch him play. I thought Freddie should have won the Gold Glove last season. But, you know, for a guy like that, again, kind of a light hitting all glove shortstop that's going to be a free agent in one season, you're not going to get a team's top prospect. You know, you're just not going to do that. So I think the Phillies did okay considering that situation. And also, quite frankly, I think they needed to move one of those infielders. I think if I'm the Phillies, I want to see what J.P. Crawford could do on a daily basis. I think J.P. Crawford's floor as an offensive player is going to be as good as possibly Freddie Galvis's ceiling as an offensive player. So I think if JP goes out there and really struggles this season offensively, he could still have a 350, 340 on base percentage, which is like 40 points, 50 points higher than Freddie Galvis has ever had.
Todd, this team obviously still wants to add a starting pitcher, and we've discussed in the past the possibility of them signing Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish and how that was slim. Does that change now, do you believe, with the signing of Santana and them shoring up their bullpen, or do you still expect them to go looking for pitching with maybe a lower price tag?
I still think it's going to be a lower price tag unless they can get somebody like a, you know, say like a Gerrit Cole in a trade. I just don't see the Phillies going, you know, 6 years, $180 million for Jake Arrieta, because still, even with the move of Santana, they still have so many question marks. Like, they're hoping that they take a nice step forward this season, but to commit that much money into a pitcher with so much mileage on his arm, I really don't think it makes a lot of sense. Now, if it's late January and, you know, other teams have already moved on and filled their starting pitching needs, and Jake Arrieta is still out there, and somehow, I think it's highly unlikely, but say somehow Scott Boras comes up to the Phillies and says, hey, you know, how about 3 years, $90 million for Jake Arrieta? I can see the Phillies actually jumping on that, knowing, again, it's only a three-year commitment. So something could happen like that, maybe late, right before spring training. But otherwise, I think they're going to continue to kind of look at that mid-level market, just kind of an innings eater, some guy that can give the rotation a little bit more stability. But again, if the Phillies can work out a trade for Chris Archer, you know, maybe they go in that direction as well. You know, that's certainly an option.
Obviously, bringing in Carlos Santana and shoring up their bullpen are moves to make them look attractive for next year's free agent class, because it is a big one. If you had to pin down who you believed out of that free agent class would head to the Phillies, a lot of people saying it could be Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. Who do you think would be the best fit for this team in that free agent class, and you think would the Phillies could attract the most?
Boy, I think right now Machado makes a lot of sense. You know, if you have Rhys Hoskins in left field now, and if you think that Herrera, some sort of combination of Herrera, Altair, and Williams can be productive in the outfield, you know, Michael Franco just hasn't shown it really at third base. Now, I know Manny Machado is kind of indicated he wants to move to shortstop after he signs as a free agent. Well, if Manny Machado wants to come to the Phillies and play shortstop, they can always move J.P. Crawford over to third base. I think that's something that could happen. But so position player wise, I think Manny certainly seems to fill a hole on this roster. You know, the Phillies don't have any big third base prospects coming up right now or are close to the big leagues. So another superstar kind of infielder on the left side of the infield to me makes a lot of sense. But I don't think the Phillies are going to be picky if they strike out a Manny Machado and they can get Bryce Harper. They'll trade one of those outfielders or two of those outfielders to make it work. I mean, there's going to be nothing that's going to prevent, or no roadblock, I don't think, that's going to prevent them from getting Manny Machado or Bryce Harper in terms of current player personnel. You know, obviously they're going to have to come up with the money to make them happy and to get them to agree to sign, but it's not going to be a situation where like, well, Altair and Williams and, you know, we can land Bryce Harper, but we don't know what we're going to do with these other outfields. No, they'll make it work if they can make the money work.
All right. Well, before we get to that, we have to get through this season first. And then, first of all, let's get through the offseason. Let's get through the holiday season for starters. What do you believe is at the top of the Phillies' holiday wish list, something that going into next year that they desire the most?
I think, you know, other than the starting pitching, because we talked about that, I think they desire the most is incremental improvement by their young players. You know, I don't think the Phillies believe that if just small step forwards, I'm not talking about huge leaps, but if Rhys Hoskins can improve a little bit, Nick Williams, Jorge Alfaro, J.P. Crawford, just take a little bit of a step forward in terms of their production, particularly with the other young starters, Jared Eichhoff, Vince Velasquez, Nick Pivetta, Jake Thompson, you know, all those guys, if they can just take a little step forward, or certainly at least produce to the levels that they produced in the second half of last season, I think the Phillies, they're not going to come out and say it, but I do think that they believe that if that happens, this can be not only a 500 team, but a team that can actually maybe surprise some people now with Santana and maybe create a little bit of excitement in September in Philadelphia, maybe challenge even for a second wild card spot. Again, but that's only if all those players take just a small step forward in 2018.
Well, let's hope they get their wish. Absolutely, for sure. Todd, thank you so much for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras, Phillies edition. Happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll talk to you in 2018.